This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9 has a huge range of programs available for podcast. In fact, Joy is one of the largest podcasting communities on community radio. If you haven't checked out our podcasting service, you're missing out. Visit joy.org.au, click on the podcast tab, and you'll find a list of Joy programs regularly sharing the best interviews, news, and reviews. There's tens of thousands of hours for you to enjoy, so check it out now. joy.org.au.
Welcome to our house, Joy 94.9's program about where and how we live in our diverse community. We will explore all aspects of real estate, but please seek professional advice before making financial decisions. My name is David Gale.
Love is in the air. I can't help myself. It's Valentine's Day.
You must be John Paul Young.
I am. Thank you for welcoming me to your show, David Gale. I'm actually Russ Masterton.
Close.
And I love Valentine's Day. What you a do? Special day it is. We eat chocolate. Mm. We throw flowers around the room at each other. And, then, you know, I've had such a great day. I've had an office full of flowers. I absolutely loved it. I thought I couldn't believe how spoilt I was. I hope all of you Valentines out there are feeling loved and happy.
That or else you're still in the car and the traffic that's pouring into the city.
Can you believe it?
Like traffic jams out there.
Flower of the day was lily, by the way.
Oh, lovely.
Gorgeous lilies, yes, yep. And did you know that you can get flowers with little chocolates inside the bud area?
Ooh. I've seen the Faces book pages that you've been...
Oh, you have? Posting. You didn't like them?
Oh, I've liked them.
You haven't liked mine.
I have so.
You have not. You're
look.
Moving anyway. Right along.
Which program's this? Oh, Our House. Our House. Sorry. Happy Valentine's Day again. Whether you're buying or selling, renting or sharing, upsizing or downsizing, or just thinking about where you'd like to live. This is the GLBTI Real Estate Show for you.
It bloody well is.
Thank you.
I'm Paul McClure, and there's one criteria for the music that we play on Our House. It must have something to do with houses or homes, except tonight, because it's Valentine's Day.
Oh, my
it's
goodness, all about this is love. A surprise.
Love is in the air.
But we do look forward to your questions and your comments. If you'd like to contact us, please do.
What would you want to contact us about?
Well, about what we talk about on the show.
Which is?
Well, we're going to be having our very special guest tonight, Dr. Nicole Hoskin from Paran Vet, to talk about how to keep your pet safe in the home, pet-proofing your house.
Okay. So if you want to send a message, what do you have to do?
You can send one by email on air at joy.org.au. You can send it by phone 1300-JOY949. Yes, the lovely Gordon is at the front desk, and you can also send it by SMS 0427-JOY949. That's 0427-569-949.
Again, Dr. Nicole Hoskins is with us tonight, and she is a vet. And there is no other person in the world that I would love to be or associate with than a vet. You know, my fur babies... my fur babies mean the world to me, and excited we've got a vet on the show tonight.
Yeah, well, that's true. So if you've got any questions pets in your home, we'd love to hear about it. Specifically, about, like, I don't want to know about if you've got a little bit of a wart on the foot of your rabbit or something like that.
No.
But if you have questions, because I know there will be quite a few questions, if there's any questions specifically to do with keeping your pets in the home and how you do it, or maybe you're considering getting
safe,
a pet.
Keeping them safe.
And what you need to do. Yeah, all those sorts of things. If you have any questions, please send in messages as soon as you can.
We don't want a lot of questions about pets being overweight.
No, we don't want to use Nicole as a clinic.
That's right.
As a vet. And, you know, don't send in.
This is a house show. At
it all. Is about housing. And, you know, what's better than a vet on a house show to tell us how to vet-proof or proof our
vet-proof.
Houses?
Vet-proof. No, vet-proof we don't want that.
Anywho, of course, we'll be looking at current rates in the marketplace and some of the sales over the past weekend in our rates check segment.
Oh, I can hardly wait.
We'll be checking in with the most gorgeous Rosemary. She cracks me up, that lady, with all of her garden tips and God knows what else. And we've got a new segment tonight, something about low-hanging fruit. You'll have time to listen to...
It's a new segment called Low-Hanging Fruit, so you're going to have to stick around to hear about that.
I don't know who thought of that name,
you
David.
You love low-hanging fruit, don't you?
It was David, wasn't
it? Yeah, but you do love low-hanging fruit.
You'll have to keep listening to find out if I do or I don't. Now, Paul.
Okay. Yes.
Well, as you know, we're on a journey with you because we're not experts, so we get the experts in so that they can share their experience and knowledge with us and with you.
You're listening to Our House on Joy 94.9.
Dum, dum.
Well, you are listening to Our House on Joy 94.9. My name's Russ Masterton, and
that
it's
music
time,
only means one thing, doesn't it?
It's time for Rates Check here on Our House.
Now, I haven't done any research this week. I know you've been right on it, Russ.
I'm always on
all
it.
All over it.
Now, listen, one of the things that I meant to talk to you boys about this week is that I found it very frustrating today when I was looking for a gay or lesbian mortgage broker.
Oh.
I read a couple of articles and of GLBTI people that had been to see a broker. And they felt that the brokers that they had gone to see weren't really sensitive to
their needs and their situation in relationships.
Exactly right, David. What they basically felt was that, you know, the partner didn't want to be thrown into the de facto group for whatever reason. They felt that wasn't good enough.
Now, we have had a fantastic mortgage broker on one of our first few episodes, Tim Gasper.
Tim.
Great guy.
He was lovely, yeah.
And he was certainly not of that ilk. But at the same time, we do need to find somebody who is from our LGBTIQ community. And I'll put that task out to you, Russ. Maybe we'll look for one over the next few weeks and see who's prepared to come into the studio.
Yeah.
Or if you're a mortgage broker and you're listening right now, send us an SMS.
If you're a mortgage broker and would like to come on Our House, we would love to hear from you now, wouldn't we, Paul? How would that person contact us immediately?
Immediately contact us by email. On air at joy.org.au or by sending us an SMS 0427 joy 949 0427 569 949.
So, anyway, what happened to me? There is. What happened to me today? I went to the Valentine's Day Google search because it's Valentine's Day.
Yes.
And I Googled, and nothing came up for gay and lesbian mortgage broker except for this thing called rainbowflag.com.au. Now, rainbowflag.com.au is one of those services where if you're gay and lesbian or gay and lesbian friendly business, you would put yourself onto this this service and they would list your business on there. You're, you know, pink dollar friendly or GLBTI friendly. So I did go on there, and living in Melbourne, I thought, well, I wonder how many gay friendly mortgage brokers we've got here. And I found two.
That's a lot.
Yes. Two. I thought that was pretty good, actually. One was called Astute Finance, and the other one was called Yellow Brick Road, which I like the sound of, Yellow Brick Road.
Yes,
so,
right.
So I'm going to try to get one of those guys on or
Yellow
ladies
Brick
on.
Yellow Brick Road is a large franchise service, as far as I know, started by the guy that used to do that program on television, sort of similar to The Apprentice.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Well, I hope he wears
as far as I know. I mean, I don't watch enough reality TV to know, but anyway.
Anyway, so that's
all right, that's a task.
That's, if you are out there and you're thinking that you really do need someone who's GLBTI sensitive to your needs when you are mortgaging for a broker or whatever you want to call
it. There's got to be some Wally Woofters out there that have become mortgage brokers.
Huge, huge. You know, they'll be messaging Paul in a moment. Anyway, we move on to...
What are the rates like this week?
Oh, the rates, God. Oh, those rates, they just move so quickly, we don't know what's going on, do we?
No, they
are still exactly the same this week.
So.
And loans.com.au has the best loan for the
3.59?
week. 3.59? Oh, yep, you're on it. You are
and
so
the
on it.
Best of the big four banks, about 3.98.
That is NAB. NAB. We love NAB. NAB, we're at midsummer.
Last week, while you were away at the B52's concert, we did have a 3.95, which was an ANZ quick start loan.
Ooh.
It was a 2-year fixed rate of 3.95 from memory. But, you know, the big four have gone from the 3.7s, and also some of the smaller brokers have gone from the 3.5 to the 3.7s, and they've all sort of adjusted about 0.2, 0.3.
Well, you know, the thing I like about NAB is it's 2 years fixed, and if you're just coming into the market, it's nice to have a fixed
mortgage. That's why we need a mortgage broker as
exactly
well.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
Tops and bottoms, we love those.
Well, I do. I have always liked both, considering this program is very versatile.
It is.
Okay, so this week we're back, everybody. We are totally back as far as auctions go.
We didn't have that many last week. It was about 400 or 500, I think, but it was still up on the year before.
Okay. How many this week? You guys last week.
How many this week?
With that rock lobstering going on.
I love
snapping.
Did you get my message?
Crab claws. Yes. Yes.
Read it.
That's good. Yeah. Now, there were 443 auctions last week.
That's 81%
clearance, which is pretty good.
High clearance.
This time last year, 536 with a 74% clearance. So even though there are less auctions, the clearance rate is much higher.
Demand is high.
Now, Paul, you will be pleased to know that 294 of them were sold prior to auction, which means they didn't have to go through that tormenting auction, which you don't like.
Nail-biting,
it's terrible. And they're sold.
It's an ordeal.
Sold to the man with the white shirt and the two dachshunds chihuahuas.
Yeah, it's like a sales orgy, isn't it, really?
It is, really.
It's
I don't
gross.
Like it. Don't.
Yeah, it is.
And more to the point, Paul, you'll like the fact that 329 were sold in private selling.
Good.
So, you know, not that
right many, up my alley.
There weren't that many more auctions.
Mm. Okay, clearance rate high. Still not
81%.
That many auctions, but still, yeah, there's demand out there.
You're right
the
on the mark, Mr.
What about the tops?
Now,
what
look,
sort of? Because I love tops.
What, it never ceases to. I know you do. Never ceases to amaze me that Glen Waverley and Mount Waverley always goes off every week.
Ridiculous.
I think at our house we need to do an OB from Glen Waverley.
Oh, yes.
Okay,
yes.
Had an Tuesday
right?
night.
That's right.
Hopefully before daylight savings finishes, because nobody can hear you scream in Glen Waverley.
We can drive around in my Toyota. To Camry,
yes,
and we can do an outside broadcast from Glen Waverley.
You'll fit in.
Oh, it'll be fabulous. I can see it now. Anyway, Glen Waverley.
What'll we wear? Beige?
Glen Waverley. Oh, yeah, we have to wear
and
beige.
And brown shoes.
Khaki.
Anyway. So what were the top sales there?
So in Glen Waverley this week, $2,880,000.
You know how they can afford that? Because they've saved on clothing.
Oh, another favourite of mine, Canterbury.
Yes, Canterbury's beautiful.
Where is Canterbury?
It's
near
just,
Far Q.
Yeah, and it's just after East Camberwell on the train line before you get to the beautiful Surrey Hills.
Oh, it sounds lovely.
There's the Golden Mile there.
$2,300,000 in Canterbury.
Mont Albert Road is
then
the
typically, Brighton East, you know what they're like from Brighton.
$1,920,000. Brighton East, though, I have to say, Brighton East is across the road.
Oh, it is.
It's not.
It's
round. Okay,
that's why it's only in the 1.1 million area.
Yeah. Top flats for the week. Everybody ready for some top flats? Okay.
Yep.
We've got McKinnon, $1,518,000.
Wow.
Jesus. McKinnon. I remember the good old days of McKinnon where you could go down there and buy a
lollipop.
Block of land for $1.50.
Yeah.
Hampton, $1,425,000. Mentone. These are all beachside suburbs.
Yeah, of course.
Mentone, $1,360,000. Mount Waverley, see?
Yep.
That OB is looking good. I tell you what.
Yeah.
Nothing better than a mount. $1,305,000. Now the bottoms, which I find most interesting because I like to I like a bargain and I like a bottom.
Yeah.
So this week, every single one of the bottom houses is in the Geelong area. How do
Get
you feel about
here.
That, Paul? Are you feeling mighty proud?
Look, I am going to query one of them. You mentioned that 58 Littlewood Drive in Finesford.
God, he's done research.
Okay, right.
I've never even heard of Finesford, but I've looked this one up. It was only $290,000. Was that the lowest one?
That was the lowest. No, it wasn't. No, Nor Lane.
All right. Well, this one is the lowest one of them, I suppose, but... It's actually a block of land.
No, okay, that's not
no bedroom, no bathroom, no car. But $290,000.
The grass is very green.
533 square metres.
The grass is greener in Finesford, let me tell you. It used to be a cement work factory, and now it's gone into a bit of a burb. But do move to Geelong. It's where the top five are this week. Mm. And the cheapest was $255,000, and they went all the way up to $290,000. So if you're wanting to get into
very
the market and you only want to be an hour away from Melbourne, you can...
Well, it is only an hour, and it can take you an hour to get in from, you know, all sorts of suburbs.
From Croydon or Frankston
Definitely.
Dandenong.
Or
now they've got that extra fast train going down there.
Craigslist Burden. I don't know. It's all happening, isn't it? Anyway,
well, I'd say
the top
that's
flats
a... Yeah.
No, it's not a wrap yet. Goodness.
No.
I could go on for an bottom hour.
The bottom flats.
I could
the
go on
flats.
For an hour. The bottom flats. Footscray.
Yes.
241,000.
Yes.
Ascot Vale. These are all city
that's
central.
That's good. Ascot Vale's lovely.
$275,000. Uh-huh. Brunswick Vest, $326,000. Hillside, $327,000. And Mordialloc, $332,000. So, you know, there are some good flats down around the bottom area.
Mordy sounds in a suburb, but it's about 33 kilometres from the city, CBD.
Well, you know what? Footscray,
it's still not bad.
Footscray is the new... Nice,
Footscray.
Paran, it is. It's gorgeous over in Footscray, I'm telling you.
Whatever you say.
$241,000 for a two-bedroom flat in Footscray. Yes,
God.
I know, it's insane.
What road was that on?
Hampton Parade West.
We'll look that up later on.
Yes. Anyway, this is our house and you've had our tops and bottoms. Thank you.
We're at home with David, Russ and Paul on our house.
Put your feet up.
You are, yeah. Grab a cup of coffee or tea or Milo.
You
and
comfy?
Listen to our house. I'm
is
very
anyone
comfy,
excited
yeah.
about what our next segment is? I am. Grrr. Now, listen to me. I cannot believe. First of all, Nicole, what's your husband's name?
Peter.
I would like to thank Peter personally for not being a Valentine's Day weirdo
yes.
and demanding that
thanks,
you go
Peter.
Out and have dinner with him tonight because we needed you on our program.
We did, indeed.
He's a very forgiving kind of person like that. So.
We have the very lovely Dr. Nicole Hoskin. She's one of the directors at Paran Veterinary Hospital.
I can't understand it.
She's been a vet for 21 years, which is longer than I've been alive.
Must have started when you were about five,
yes.
I'd say.
Oh, you say the nicest things.
That's okay.
She's got a lot of fingers in a lot of pies, and her interests include exotic pets, so ferrets, rabbits. Anybody out there with ferrets and rabbits, send us a message if you've got a question. She's done extra training and she's got accreditation in dentistry. She also does ultrasounds and acupuncture. And it is great to have her here, not least of all because she's spent the last 5 days without a voice having had laryngitis. So thank you very much for coming in, Nicole.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm glad I've got my voice back. It probably would have been a very quiet segment.
Mime doesn't really work.
No, it doesn't work on radio.
On radio. Straight away, I've got this slightly loose feeling at the back. No. Happy Valentine's Day, Nicole, and thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Now, Nicole, you lived on a farm when you were younger.
I didn't live on a farm. My grandparents had a farm and I spent a lot of weekends up there. So.
Okay, so hence the love for pets. And, how wonderful.
Yeah, my parents used to call me Ellie Mae Clampett because I used to collect all the stray animals and take them home.
Oh, cool.
Yes, you wouldn't be old enough to have seen the Beverly Hillbillies, but Ellie Mae could tame any critter that there was. Now, look, just thinking about critters tonight, and it is Valentine's Day. Just before we started the show, we were talking about the great gifts that we get for Valentine's Day. You've got chocolates today, and I'm sure there's
flowers.
Bunches of flowers there for you, Paul. I'm all alone, so there's nothing. But at the same time, to get into Valentine's Day, chocolates and flowers and, you know, beautiful ribbons and bows and things, they present hazards for pets, don't they?
They certainly do. We often forget that chocolate is quite toxic to dogs. We get a lot of dogs coming in that have ingested chocolates that have been hidden under the Christmas tree or were set aside for presents.
Yeah.
They go and swipe them off the bench because they taste so good.
Yeah.
But the problem is that dogs have problems with something called theobromine, which is one of the products in the chocolate, and it actually causes cardiac problems or heart problems.
Really?
And they can get quite sick with it. So we're often making dogs throw up after they've eaten chocolate, which is not a very fun thing to do at the clinic.
I've heard it said before that dark chocolate is better than milk chocolate.
It's actually the other way around.
Oh, the other way around.
Yeah, so dark chocolate is really the highest concentration of the product that causes a problem.
Okay.
Milk chocolate is less so, and white chocolate doesn't actually contain it. So if they eat white chocolate, they're okay.
But it's all bad, really.
Yeah, we'd prefer that they didn't eat it.
Now, Nicole, if you are you playing with a time bomb, if you're if you do slip the odd chocolate eclair to your dog, is it?
It depends on the size of your dog.
Okay.
So if you've got a little 1 kilo dog and you're giving it a chocolate every now and again, then that's probably a lot more dangerous than giving a 40 kilo dog a little bit of chocolate.
Okay.
So you do have to be careful. Yeah. And there are really good resources online. There's chocolate toxicity calculators.
Yes.
So you can work out the weight of your dog and the weight of your the amount of chocolate that they've eaten and whether you need to be worried about it or
is
not.
Is that sweet tooth something that we've introduced to her then? I'm very curious about this because, you know, her mouth waters and drips.
We're talking about your dog, aren't we?
Gwenny, we are.
Yeah. I'd say
we're talking about my partner, excuse
no.
me.
Yeah,
how dare you?
He's just sweet.
She anything sweet and she's on it.
Yeah,
right
I think that there might be a component of that Pavlovian syndrome, you know, where you give a dog something and they just go,
they
oh my God,
forget.
Something good something
yeah,
happening.
Yeah.
So there's an element of that, and there's also, you know, that you're excited about giving it to them, so it's fun there as well.
Yeah,
so
okay.
there's a whole
so
lot of jokes.
In fact, the best piece of advice about Valentine's chocolate is keep out of reach of dogs.
Yeah, put it up high.
Okay.
Yeah.
And or just eat it all.
Or eat it all. Yeah, that's what I'd do. Yeah,
maybe
yeah.
not in front of them secretly in the bathroom
right.
as you cry.
Lock the door.
Yeah, or something like that.
Yeah.
Also, we were talking about animals before, and, you know, it sort of ties back into the chocolate thing. But if you were to get, like, you get asked a lot of questions every day. What is one of the most common questions you get asked every day in the surgery?
I think one of the biggest questions I get asked is my pet overweight? So, you know, people are often very scared to ask the question, but then they do because they want to know whether their pet's chubby or not.
Yeah, look, I have to say, as an owner of a once fat dog, she's good now.
Well done.
Yeah.
Great work.
Did you cut her back?
I cut her back.
Yeah, good boy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cut her off.
And what sort of advice would you give to people if their dog is overweight?
Well, I certainly would say don't be shy about asking your vet about what to do. About anything, really, because we love animals and we want to help them. One of the biggest issues that we have with animals is that they're overweight or that they have obesity-related problems such as arthritis and diabetes becoming more and more common. So if you are concerned, we'd much rather you come in and have a chat to us and we can help you out.
Don't
put it off. Yeah.
So we're in the kitchen at the moment. There's chocolates all around. The place.
Making soup.
And making soup. Well, we're always cooking in the kitchen. That's what it's for. But there's other foods in the kitchen that need to be addressed because when we're talking about pet-proofing your home, there's things that we need to do. Now, you know, I don't know, some people might have an open bin that they store things like potatoes and onions and things like that. Do they create problems? Are there foods that create problems with pets?
Ooh. There's lots of things in the kitchen that can cause problems with pets. So you've got your onions are important. Lots of ingestion of onions can cause red blood cell problems in dogs, so you have to be a little bit careful with them. A lot of people don't know that macadamia nuts can be really toxic to dogs in particular, so that's a bit of an odd one. Other nuts seem to be okay, but macadamias in particular can cause hind leg problems. It does wear off over time, but they can get quite sick.
Grapes and raisins?
Grapes,
yeah, that's a
wine,
big one. We're seeing that a lot more commonly now. So,
what's their allergy to grapes?
We don't really know what the actual toxic component is, and some dogs can eat grapes and be okay, and other dogs can't, and we don't know which ones are going to be affected and which ones aren't.
Right.
So if any dog eats grapes, we just assume that they're one of those dogs that could have problems because it causes kidney issues. So any type of grape, raisin, sultana, anything like that, we say keep out of reach.
Yes.
So with a lot of foods, we should be making sure that they're either stored in cupboards or out of reach if we have pets.
Yep.
And even, you know, something as innocent as a fruit bowl or something like that could contain grapes or other things that you know, avocado. I can't believe it.
Yeah, there's lots of different things there that you need to be cautious about.
Is it the avocado itself or is it the
skin
pip?
Or?
Not the pip. What do you call it?
I think it's all parts.
All of it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I better take it off the list.
We're going to talk a little bit more about pet-proofing your home. The kitchen's a great place to start. And we're going to talk a little bit more to Dr. Nicole after this break.
Listening to Joy 94.9, Our House, and we've heard the theme music, which means it's time for
all sorts of things, isn't it?
No,
it's not quite time for a song.
No,
it's
not
time
yet.
For
goodness me.
Rosemary, are you there, Rosemary?
Yes, I'm here.
What's on tonight's show, Rosemary? What are we talking about?
We're talking about I've got some, you know, shoe container. What do you put your shoes in
shoe
the
boxes?
Cupboard?
To keep your shoes all together and in the cupboard?
Yes.
Yeah? What are you doing with them?
What am I doing with them? I'm going to take them and I'm going to put them on the fence.
Mm-hmm.
throw herbs in them.
Oh, that's a good idea.
It's a great idea.
So use those little pockets that you would normally put shoes in and put herbs in it.
Yes.
What are these, like cloth pockets or something that you'd put your shoes into?
Pardon?
Like a cloth bag with a drawstring.
Yes.
And then what, you're going to fill them with dirt and tie them to the fence?
Yes. I'm going to attach them to the fence first, and then I'm going to fill them with dirt, and I'm going to put herbs in them.
So that will give them natural drainage because they're made of cloth?
Yeah.
And, I suppose they're probably just the right size too. Will they stay up there for a while, do you think?
Well, they should stay up there for quite a while.
Oh. What are your favourite herbs, Rosemary?
I've got one at the front with succulents in it.
Oh. What are your favourite herbs, Rosemary?
Well, I like parsley, oregano, basil.
So all of the major ones?
Rosemary?
Yeah.
Would rosemary do... Would that work in one of your vertical garden bags?
Big,
I don't think
it?
So.
It'd get too big.
Too big, right. Yeah.
And is, just out of interest with rosemary, is that one of those herbs that keep the flies away?
I don't know about it keeping the flies away, but it's very nice in some of your cooking.
Yes.
Okay. Look, a very interesting idea about creating a hanging garden. So you'd be able to just water it and it'll just drain out... Would you be able to put things like lettuces, like rocket and baby spinach and stuff like that in it?
Yeah.
And should all herbs be in a shaded area?
Not really.
Okay.
No.
Hey, Rosemary, we've got Dr. Nicole from the Paran Veterinary Clinic here tonight. You've got a couple of dogs, don't you?
I've got two long-haired dachshunds.
Oh, beautiful. What are their names?
What are their names? Charm and Wesley.
Oh, very cute.
They're beautiful.
That's very cute.
I love the idea of your herb garden because it keeps it up out of the way of the animals as well, so they can't landscape and unplant your plants. Yes. I do like that idea.
That's exactly right.
do the dogs do any gardening with you, Rosemary, or are they well trained? They don't dig any holes in your backyard.
Oh, no, well, they have. I've opened a bit up that wasn't open for dogs, but they seem to have got in there a little bit. But that's all right. They've got to be able to dig somewhere.
Yeah, well, that's true. Well,
so now is the herb planting time? We need to get our herbs out there in those hanging baskets, you think?
Well, I'm going to try anyway.
All right. Well, that's part of what it's all about, is just giving it a go and getting out there and getting your hands a little bit dirty.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I propagated a geranium and I put honey on the end of it and shoved it in the pot, and it seems to be working.
Good.
So I thank you for the advice.
We hope everybody else is listening to your advice as well, Rosemary. Thanks very much for joining us tonight on Our House.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. It's time for another song. It is Steps. Love's Got a Hold on My Heart.
Throw me in that life.
Hi, come on in to our house on Joy 94.9.
Now, while we're on the show, this is our house and we've got Dr. Nicole in here tonight. We were just laughing our heads off during that song. Did you know Nicole was just saying that her husband is her enabler? And so what that means is, what happens in your bedroom at night, Nicole?
Well, we have a dog and three cats that sleep on the bed with us. And so I'm a bit naughty in that I do allow my pets to sleep on the bed. And my husband's very, very accommodating. So he's very, very forgiving. And he just enables me to have all of these animals in the house.
Well, he chose a bed as a partner.
I think we've got to love animals in our house. There's just no other way of dealing with it.
We might actually get back to the bedroom in a moment because we need to go to the bedroom a little bit later on because it is Valentine's Day. But we were in the kitchen before and we were talking about pet-proofing your kitchen. We've talked about fruits and vegetables and things like that. There's some special issues with things like dishwashers and microwaves and
Actually had a couple of patients that tried to climb inside the washing machine and the dryer and the dishwasher. And if people are unaware, then they can turn those appliances on and it doesn't go very well, particularly cats and ferrets. They're a bit sneaky. So just get into the habit of checking inside before you turn your washing machine on and your dishwasher.
Which brings me to the next question, electrical cables.
Yeah.
Are they good to have around the house? Or I mean,
need them. They're part of everyday life.
I would hate it if my dog was chewing on our electrical cables all over the house. Fortunately, she doesn't.
I do have a story about that. My grandmother used to have a poodle that chewed through an electrical cable and she had a massive burn across the top of her nose.
Oh, really?
And it was only because we had a safety switch in the house that she didn't get electrocuted.
Oh, yeah, cool.
So we do hear of rabbits in particular. They love to get their teeth into cables and things. Yes. So one of the things I often tell people with rabbits is to run the cables through a PVC pipe so that the rabbits can't actually get at the cables, and that can be helpful. It can help with puppies as well.
I was amazed a couple of years ago we had rats get into our kitchen and eat through the water hose of the dishwasher because it was so hot and dry outside, and I just couldn't believe that they'd actually have gone to that extent.
Where there's a will, there's a way.
Absolutely, absolutely. I had to get a new dishwasher.
And also things like dangly wires and stuff like that. Cats love to play with those sorts of things, so they're going to destroy your TV.
Yeah, you go onto the internet and you can see all these wonderful photos of cats being caught in Venetian blinds and looking very, very guilty and those sorts of things. So, yeah, you've got to be careful of dangly things.
Because we're looking after the safety of our pet,
What happens with pets and flowers, Nicole?
Well, one of the most common flowers we're seeing in cut flower arrangements now is the oriental lily. Mm-hmm. And they're a beautiful looking flower, but unfortunately they are deadly to cats.
Oh, really?
Absolutely. Oh, okay. So it takes a cat eating a small piece of the leaf or the petal or the stamen, which is the inside of it, or even the pollen. Even a small piece, about the quarter of your small fingernail, can actually cause a cat to die.
Oh, right.
So it causes their kidneys to shut down. It's really horrible. And I've lost kittens as young as 6 months old from having eaten it because they don't show symptoms until their kidneys are very failing.
Yeah.
And it's too late then. So if you do have lilies and your significant other has given you a beautiful bouquet of flowers for Valentine's Day and you've got a cat, just just put them outside.
Relationship over. We've got to save our cat and straight into the bin.
What about all of those ribbons that dogs and cats like to gobble up at Christmas time or when Valentine's Day gifts are given?
Or other things. Like we had a dog that used to eat the crutch out of undies.
Oh, did you? Right, that's why they...
Clean ones, they were clean.
I had one dog that vomited up 12 pairs of undies once. So it's certainly a common thing.
Were they full on
It was a variety. There was some granny undies in there and there were some G-strings. So
what sort of dog was this?
It was a Labrador.
12 pairs.
I took a friend
that
to.
That must have been tasty.
I took a friend to a family's house once, and she, lovely Sue Elliott, if you're listening, you'll love this story because it's all about you. She had this dog ate the crotch out of all of her underpants. Actually, it doesn't matter. I was going to say they were all clean. I don't understand the fascination.
I don't know. That my dog used to eat the clean ones, fresh out. She'd
the dogs have got a sense of smell a lot stronger than ours. True. So right. we think yeah. they're clean, but yeah. you know, yes, and yeah, the dogs yeah. go, "Wow, you wash them for me, thanks."
But what's the danger with that? That it can get
well, they
caught
can
in
get
their
caught
gut?
In their guts, and yeah. then we have to go in and do surgery to remove Ooh. It. So yeah. it can
and
be
it
pretty
might
nasty.
Be some of the laundry aromas and things like that they put into scents that they put into softeners and laundry liquids.
Yeah,
and
I found
like
my dogs aren't really that discerning. They'll eat anything, particularly sort of dirty stuff. You know, if I come home from the vet clinic and I've got animal smells on me, then my dog actually goes nuts. So
Okay, so keep no food in the kitchen. Don't keep any clothing or underwear in the house.
Or socks.
Don't have any computers or TVs or anything with a dangling wire.
No. Live in a tent, I think.
What about in the garage? Because I think, you know, animals love to go into the garage because it's quiet and it's usually quite dark, so it's a good area to go into.
Yep. So thinking about things that you might be using in the garden, like snail bait and rat bait, they're very, very toxic. And unfortunately, they're made to be palatable, so our rats eat them and the snails eat them. And then animals eat them too. And even the animal-safe ones, the ones that say that they've got a flavour deterrent or that they're safe to use around dogs and cats, are still toxic.
Oh, so I didn't know that.
My recommendation is don't. Okay. Right. I recommend to put crushed up eggshells around your seedlings. So yeah, and there's some other alternatives. There you can try. So yeah, stay away from those, and just having a look at different things like whether you've got paints in that are sitting in the garage or other toxins. If they're low down, just put them out of reach.
Antifreeze.
Yeah, antifreeze is a big one.
Yeah,
it's
most
quite
of our
sweet.
Cars have antifreeze and might overflow a little bit, especially on a hot day or something. So that's something to be cleaned up. Or
Definitely get rid of it. Dilute it as much as you can with water, and then sort of mop it up.
Okay. Look. We also have, before we get back to pet-proofing your house, we have a new little segment to talk about, and it's coming up straight after this break. Well, it's time for our new segment. We haven't got a jingle yet. We're still working on it. This is how new this new segment is.
That new.
It's called Low-Hanging Fruit, and I've decided to pop this into the show because, now, we talk to amazing guests such as Nicole tonight, but we talk to a lot of amazing people, and we're going to play one of the people from the last couple of weeks straight up now. If there was one piece of advice that you could give our listeners, what would it be?
The most important thing is to take responsibility for your own fire safety in your home, and it's really simple. If you're in a domestic dwelling, it's a residential smoke alarm, and you can buy a residential smoke alarm for about $25. You can get one that lasts you 10 years and you don't even have to change the battery anymore. You can bang one in all of your bedrooms and all your living rooms, and you can be, pardon the pun, as safe as houses for the rest of your life.
Oh. Now, that's great advice from
Rob Purcell,
yes, from the MFB. He was in the studio. And we've got another piece of advice for you as well.
What's your top tip for being more sustainable?
Well, if you're trying to retrofit at least cost a house that's not performing that well and that has a lot of energy use, well, you really want to stop the way that the house is exchanging heat or temperature with the environment. So the really basic thing is insulation and draft sealing. That is the biggest payback that you can do in most homes.
Now, those two pieces of advice are low-hanging fruit, and I know you were just checking out the last little piece from Brendan Condon, who was on last week, which you missed the show, but I know you've already listened to the podcast, and that's the point. If you want to know about housing sustainability, eco housing, and what you can do just in your own home to make it a little bit more friendly and more energy efficient, or if you want to hear about tips on fire safety, how to actually make your home a much safer place to live in, those are the best pieces of advice, but you can go to our podcast. Now, how do you go to our podcast, Paul?
Now, interestingly enough, David, you're our...
I drew a blank.
I'm the podcaster. Okay.
David, you're our podcast guy.
All right. Yes.
Just throw it back in.
Go to joy.org.au/ourhouse and look at all the podcasts from all of the episodes.
Yeah, right. So if you want to find out, well, I know you've already listened to the sustainability one, Russ, and I'm not going to ask you questions right now.
No,
because
we haven't
got time.
And I put my headphones on and I listen to Our House.
And also the fire one was a brilliant one. Rob was fantastic to have here, and he gave us some good advice. Yeah. You can also check out podcasts from our Facebook page, which is under Our House 94.9.
Yeah. On Facebook.
So you can always pick up the podcast anyway. Of course, you can go to your favourite podcast serving thingy, which is iTunes or whoever else you use.
Your app. check your app.
Yeah, and you'll be getting more advice in just a moment. But at the moment,
I can't believe it's almost over.
Let's get some more advice.
I've got a great question for my vet.
Yes.
Nicole, puppies and pools.
Puppies and pools.
Mm-hmm.
Just remembering that kids safe pools are not puppy safe pools.
Okay.
So remembering that the vertical bars that puppies can walk straight through, and they don't see a pool as a dangerous thing, so they'll walk into it and then they can't get out of it by themselves.
Mm.
So it can end in tragedy, and it's really, really sad when it does happen.
I'm sure it is.
I was telling you during the break that one of the saddest things I had to deal with as a high school student was one of my friends whose dogs got into the pool, and there was a cover on the pool, and so they were trapped underneath and couldn't get out. It was really sad.
The other question I've got for you are dogs and fireworks. Now, this past New Year's Eve, we thought we were so good. We'd stayed at home with the dog all night, just took off for 10 minutes to go and watch the fireworks, and by the time we got back, she was a mess, and so was my door. She'd almost ripped it off its hinges.
Yeah, dogs can do amazing things when they're stressed, and particularly with the fireworks. We get a lot of problems around New Year's Eve and Australia Day, all of those days where they have these wonderful fireworks displays, and there are some animals that will injure themselves or run in front of traffic or jump off a balcony or do anything to get away because they're so scared. Mm. They just don't know what to do. So if you do have a dog that suffers from anxiety and is having trouble, have a talk to your vet, because there are things that we can do to try and help them out, and there are also CDs that you can play to desensitise them to it.
I had heard that, playing classical music. I'd seen...
Mm-hmm. Well, we play classical music in the vet clinic to keep our patients calm. So, and it helps with us too.
I thought you were talking about the owners.
So it helps with us too. But there are CDs that you can put on start off with very low levels and gradually work up until you're
like
playing
the 1812 Overture or something like that.
Yeah, well, that's one of them. But there's a special CD that's put together. Yeah.
Now, Nicole, if someone finds a dog in their backyard or their front yard, would you recommend that they just take them straight down to the local vet? Or what is the easiest thing to do instead of bringing the pound or whatever?
Certainly taking them to a local vet. We'll always take a stray animal in. Yeah. And the good thing nowadays is that most animals are microchipped, they have a form of identification, and we can contact owners if it's after hours, and we can keep them safe at least.
Mm.
We still have to notify the council because that's important as well. Yeah. But we can at least keep them safe, and emergency centres are open 24/7 as well, so you can always take them there if you find an animal after hours, and don't hold on to it. Because one of the biggest problems we have is people are desperately seeking their pet, it's being kept in a backyard safe, but it's they don't know where it is, and it's really scary.
Because we don't have the microchip readers, so we can't go, I'll just ring up Russ and say, look, Gwenny's over here again.
Now, and lastly, Nicole, your clinic is in one of our neighbourhoods, Paran.
Is it?
It is.
Never noticed.
I was about to ask you. I bet you'd be having a revolving door of GLBTI folk coming through the clinic. There
makes no difference to us, honestly.
I love fur babies, and I just
But also
we do have a lot of people from the community that come in to see us, and we love having them because Paran they are really dedicated owners.
Paran is definitely changing though as well, because it's becoming more of an apartment area.
Yep.
So are you seeing more pets that people keep in smaller?
We're seeing a lot more smaller animals, like smaller dogs and cats, and a lot more rabbits and guinea pigs and things as well. So there is a shift in the dynamics. We know that dog and cat ownership is dropping across Australia, but they're pocket pets and rats, which are my favourite, are growing quite significantly.
Okay, rats and, of course, ferrets, because you're a lover of ferrets as well.
Well, it's been great having you on the show, Dr. Nicole Hoskin from the Paran Veterinary Hospital. And they are a great team. I can vouch for them myself, having been taking my girls to be patients there on occasions. Thank you very much for joining us to talk about keeping your home safe for your pets.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.